Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business with Brathe. This is Robert Brathe, founder of Brathe Enterprises. We deliver customized training for you and your business. Tonight's topic really involves improving workplace communication. Back in 2000, I was returning a rental truck with my friend in Boston, and while he was dealing with the counter clerk, I looked over onto the bulletin board to read some of the information, and I came across a quote that is still very memorable to this day. And it said something like this: if we're going to kill anything, let it be the arrogant attitude, ignorance, and unconstructive criticism. MB. I still haven't figured out who MB is, but whoever he or she is gave me a quote that I will remember for a lifetime. One of the problems with workplace communication is really killing off these three real killers of workplace culture, communication, and productivity. So we'll address these each for a few minutes. I will start with the arrogant attitude. Arrogance generally comes from somebody feeling a little bit too full of themselves, maybe somebody who hasn't been disciplined for petty crimes, as I like to say, who might be very exclusive with their communication style, and that don't know how to respect and value everybody. So we'll start off with point one, how to stop the arrogant attitude. And it begins by getting rid of the petty crimes that can happen in the workplace. And these can be as silly as eye-rolling or whispering to something a little bit more major, where people raise their tone of voice to people, don't fulfill their obligations to others, and don't handle things properly, whether it be phone communication, face-to-face communication, both internally and with customers or guests. I was at a networking event at my MBA alma mater, Western Connecticut State University, and one of the attendees, who was a current student there at the time, was telling me about this great manifesto called Principles by Ray Dalio, the billionaire founder of a very successful hedge fund company. And in this manifesto, which you can download from the web, just put into Google Principles by Ray Dalio, you'll see some really amazing ways to address these petty crimes that come up in the workplace in terms of proper protocol when dealing with customers or guests, proper protocol with dealing with each other. And what I found in this discussion at the event about working in this type of environment is, for some, it's very eye-opening. They've never dealt with it before, and you really have to have a thick skin to work in that kind of environment. But I think it's healthy. The more you're able to address those little petty crimes, the better off you'll be in the long run. And I go back to an example of someone I mentor. When we first started working together, I took him to a park and noticed that he threw a gum wrapper on the ground. And we went and played some tennis. And on our way out, I said, before we go, you need to go pick up that gum wrapper. And he didn't even realize that I had noticed that that had happened. But addressing that minor issue really set the tone for many years to come in terms of working with him, in that even the smallest detail overlooked can lead to an arrogant attitude developing. So step one of getting rid of the arrogant attitude is stopping those petty crimes. Step two of removing the arrogant attitude from the workplace is inclusive versus exclusive communication. And what I mean by that is you don't have to tell everything to everyone, but very often the workplace lends to environments where people may feel excluded on certain parts of the communication. make your hiring processes transparent. I think very often if somebody assumes that they're going to get a role over someone else and there isn't a fair and equitable hiring process, it can really cloud the judgment of a promotional opportunity or a new position that may open up. So I think the more you can make things transparent and everyone is aware of new positions that open up, that can be a great way to prevent the arrogant attitude. As well, any meetings that take place at work should have some type of follow-up. And that might mean a summary of topics covered, when the next meeting may be, and what some of the deliverables that have come out of each of those meetings. I saw a great quote on the way to work today around God loved us so much because he didn't send a committee. And I think a lot of times we fall into that trap of thinking that a team meeting or a committee meeting is a great way to have inclusive communication on the team, where very often it leads to very exclusive communication, where people feel because they're on the committee or they're on the team, they have the exclusive rights to that communication and those methods of communicating. So keep that in mind. To avoid arrogance in the workplace, you may also want to create ways where people feel more included than excluded with their communication. Respecting and valuing everyone. My third recommendation, first being stopping petty crimes, second being inclusive versus exclusive communication, is respecting and valuing everyone. This is a big motto in our diversity training at one of my prior companies, and I think you have to take it as far as you need to make sure that you're spending quality time with quality people. Many managers may fall into the trap of spending time on the problem children, spending time with the people they only see on a regular basis. If you go a day without talking to one of the staff members who's on the day that you are working, you've missed a great opportunity. Everybody should have a touch point, and that doesn't mean you have to individually address everybody, but giving equal time in terms of equal opportunity to have a dialogue with management or each other is a great way to make sure that you're respecting and valuing everyone. Encouraging in a team meeting contributions where appropriate, cutting off people who are maybe over contributors, who may have the tendency to speak up too often in a meeting, is a great part about respecting and valuing everyone. And some of the greatest managers I've seen and some of the greatest employees I have seen do a very solid job of ensuring that everyone is respected and valued in terms of their time and their contributions. After the arrogant attitude, ignorance very often is a huge part of what divides effective and ineffective workplace communications. The three ways I suggest today to overcome ignorance in the workplace is to ban certain words, open up minds, and provide multiple methods of communication that are used properly. Let's start with banning certain vocabulary. We have swear words here at Brothy Enterprises that are not allowed by everyone, and I nip them in the bud every time I can. And three that come to mind right now that I'd like to share with you are confused, frustrated, and busy, and any of their synonyms like confusing, frustrating, I don't have time, etc. By banning those words, you force people to get out of their ignorance and actually try harder. So, for example, if someone comes to me before they learn about these swear words and says, I'm confused about this assignment, I ask them, have you read all the information possible before self-determining that you're confused? And generally the answer is no. So I said, well, now you know, if you ever feel you're in that state of confusion, it is something you have chosen to be in. You have not asked the right questions. You've not read things properly. Maybe you haven't set up the right relationships. So stop the confused talk. Frustrated, same thing. If you've gotten yourself to the point of frustration, it's generally a choice. You haven't spoken up. You haven't stopped the petty crimes, like we mentioned earlier. And you haven't respected yourself enough to really not get yourself to the point of frustration, thus sometimes avoiding the whole issue entirely by just ignoring the help of others or not even soliciting help of others. And busy is just a cop-out. Everyone in the world is busy. But the people that I call up, how are things going? Oh, I'm busy. Well, who cares? How about just telling me the kind of things you're doing and maybe asking for support? So figure out what words you should ban in your own vocabulary. And that's step one to getting rid of ignorance in the workplace. Opening up minds. And as I like to say, you should open up your mind more than you open up your mouth. I think a lot of times in the workplace, people just are so used to how this manager did it, or this professor did it, or this coworker did things, rather than opening up to their minds to the fact that there are other ways of getting to the same solution. At Bronte Enterprises, we always encourage outcomes, but not necessarily how to get there, because we want people to find the best possible way that may work for them. And we may share some best practices, but you've got to be open-minded enough to give things a chance before you go and open your mouth and declare that you're confused, frustrated, busy, or that the person that you're working with is disagreeable or dissatisfying to you. And the more you're able to get specific about what your needs are, that's critical. And we'll get to that when we get to the section on constructive criticism. So we've talked about 2 points so far when it comes to ignorance: banning certain vocabulary and opening up your minds. And step three of confronting ignorance and or killing it off from the workplace is providing multiple methods of learning and communication that are used properly. Many times ignorance occurs because people don't realize that not everyone uses the same method of communication or learning. Some people need to learn via video. Some people need to learn by text. Some people need demonstrations. And you've got to provide multiple ways of learning the same material. And same thing with communicating. I get great results from texting my kids and my peers. I don't get the greatest results from email anymore, but I still use both of those methods to reiterate certain points. And we also use a great software called Basecamp where we have our communication between our peers. But the key is to use them properly, and to bombard people with the same information in the same way on different platforms is irresponsible and leads to ignorance. Be sure that if you're going to use these multiple methods of learning and communication, that they're used properly, and don't just throw another service or platform to communicate in the same ways you've done in the past. Somebody who's terrible on the phone very likely might be just as bad on email. But you've got to find multiple ways to communicate internally and externally in your organization, or it's going to lead to ignorance. So we've hit on two parts of our quote. And again, the quote I mentioned that I saw in Boston: if we're going to kill anything, let it be the arrogant attitude, ignorance, and unconstructive criticism. So we'll get to point three on constructive criticism. You need to build effective feedback systems. You need to have an intolerance of third-party critiquing and build in a tolerance for annoyances. And I like to say this is like putting your bib on: building, intolerance, and building again. So the first part of the bib is building effective feedback systems. It is like BS bingo when I hear people say, I have an open door policy. Well, big freaking deal. What exactly does that mean? How about instead of declaring that you have an open door policy, you build effective feedback systems? And that means making people feel comfortable to come to you directly and to address issues with a situation, behavior, and outcome. telling somebody this sucks or I don't understand, or going back to I'm frustrated, is not effective criticism. Effective criticism gives the critiquer feedback on how they've been critiquing. So, for example, if somebody comes to me in my old life, a couple of people used to come to me in my old life as a web designer with, I don't like how my website looks. I want a new one. Well, I would give them feedback and say, thank you for your feedback, but I need specific things that you would like to see and specific websites you would like to emulate. And by setting that up, that I was not going to tolerate just a blanket, I don't like this, created an environment where clients and customers could talk to me about literally anything. You need to build that effectively. And that's why I think to avoid unconstructive criticism, if you ask your managers or your coworkers, how am I doing, instead of giving them feedback, you might be more willing to receive it, and the person who you've asked might be more willing to give it and take feedback. So build effective feedback systems through a variety of methods, including written communication, setting up timely communication, and making sure that there's follow-up after the discussion. Good example of building effective feedback systems was sitting down with one of my employees several years ago in a meeting, told me that I reminded them of their spouse because I asked them too many questions. So a few weeks later, I took that feedback into account, didn't spend as much time interrogating that person. And then in our feedback session, we talked about how the month went. And they said, great, really enjoyed it. And I said, do I still remind you of your spouse? And they're like, what do you mean by that? I said, I wrote down that I reminded you of your spouse, and so I'm checking to see if you still feel the same way. And they said, no, you're not asking me as many questions, and I really appreciate you taking that feedback and remembering it. And that's important to build effective feedback into the workplace. Second, but I think the more important part of the BIB, is intolerance of third-party critiquing. One of my favorite speakers, Dr. Wayne Dyer, had a great approach where he said if he walked into a room and there was somebody being third-party critiqued, he would say something along the lines, excuse me, I'm going to take the side of the person that you're critiquing, since they're not here to respond to this criticism. And the more you can nip that kind of stuff in the bud and not tolerate it, you're going to have constructive criticism. I find if I ever hear feedback from a third party, I will take it in stride, but I will not respond to that person directly. And whether people seem to like that approach or not, I find it's effective because it will teach the person to come directly for feedback and not feel like they have to go through a third party to do so. And of course, there's going to be some exceptions to that rule, but I think the more you can directly address criticism or concern with others, the better off you'll be in providing an open environment that avoids unconstructive criticism. So we've talked about building effective feedback systems, intolerance of third-party critiquing, and the third part of the BIB, building in a tolerance for annoyances. I had a saying with one of my old friends, which is, you're only going to have a 90% approval rating. The other 10% is people don't know you well enough or you're insane. And keeping that in mind, we all have our little quirks and habits. And if we can tolerate that and build in that tolerance, we're not going to unconstructively criticize people. People have different phraseology they use. They have different buzzwords they rely on. And the more we're able to not necessarily deal with, but accept others and how they speak and their mannerisms and their approaches, the better off we'll be. Just because somebody has a particular way of doing things that might be different from you doesn't mean they're wrong. And I think where a lot of managers go wrong with unconstructive criticism is they think they are the only ones, or because they're in management, they are the only ones at the level that can make decisions on how people deliver their work properly. And with that being said, if you can build in a tolerance, both as a manager and an employee, for, quote, annoyances, you're going to do a better job of providing constructive criticism around the results and not necessarily the methods to get there. So we've talked about the arrogant attitude, ignorance, and unconstructive criticism today. What are the next steps for you? I suggest you contact us. You can find us at BrotheEnterprises.com and contact us about some of our customized training programs for you and your business. We come out for many times in businesses, 8-part series where we'll come out and do a 90-minute session every other week or every week on customized topics, whether it's individual or group. We can come out for a lunch and learn program. We even host webinars, or we can host a combination of things. A couple companies we've worked with, we've done some customized workshops that take place over a couple-day period, or we have had an on-site followed up by some online components. And we also offer some phone or Skype sessions where we can do some customized, individualized training in the areas of workplace communication, customer service, project management, and more. You can reach us by phone at 518-290-0812 or 203-770-2686. You may also schedule a call with me at just go to meetme.so/Robert Brathag, and that's Brathahe, and you can schedule a 15-minute chat with me to talk about the needs of your business, and we can develop a customized program for you or your peers that will help you communicate better, improve your customer service scores, help you manage projects better, or better develop your talent within your organization. Again, this has been Business with Brathe. Today's topic, killing the arrogant attitude, ignorance, and unconstructive criticism. Visit us again at www.brotheenterprises.com. Thank you very much.